Well, good morning. I am not your regular priest. My name is Hunter Ruffin, and I am working to start a new church on the far western side of Fort Worth. And it is a real pleasure to be here with you this morning at the invitation of your rector, Scott. Lord, if a member of the church sins against me, how many times should I forgive him? Seven times? How many times have we uttered that in prayer for ourselves? If you remember the biblical narrative we're in Matthew 18, and this whole chapter is about being in relationship, really and truly. It's about learning how to be in loving relationship through forgiveness and maintaining our community with each other. And so in many ways, chapter 18 of Matthew's narrative is a big one to struggle with. And today we find Peter asking Jesus this earnest question. And we witness Peter coming to Jesus with this question of, okay, so you told me what to do when I get angry or if someone sins against me, I have to confront them, right? Remembering last week's reading. And if that doesn't work, I get two or three others to come with me. And if that doesn't work, we go before the entire congregation. And here's Peter trying to really figure this out. But how many times do I have to do that? Seven times? Peter is, in this moment, showing us a little bit about what it means to be vulnerable in front of Jesus, asking this heartfelt question of his rabbi. Really trying to grapple with the teaching that Jesus has given to them. Of course, to understand sin or forgiveness begs the question, what is sin? This little three-letter word that gets bandied about quite often. Sometimes it's used as a way of bullying a person, of saying, oh, what you're doing is sinful, you don't believe rightly. Or perhaps to cast whole people groups into the shadow of that group over there, they are sinful, filled with sin, outside the reaches of God's grace. Perhaps we understand sin as something that we can completely avoid. Take my checklist out, and it says to avoid sin. Check box number one. And I check that box. And then I move to check box number two, and I check that box. And if I do all of those boxes, then maybe I can root out sin once and for all. So we have this kind of vision of sin or this way of speaking about sin that is pathological, right? In the sense that if I only take the right antibiotic, it'll be gone. And I don't really think that's what Jesus is talking about here. You see, when we enter into relationship with each other, we do that by telling a story. And I tell a very particular story. I tell my story. It's unique to me. And it's the only story that I am able to tell with 150% authenticity. Because I know it. And the story that I tell is something that I call my life. And I enter into relationship with you by beginning to tell that story, maybe only one phrase or one paragraph at a time. I'm currently reading a book by an Irish poet and theologian, Padre Gotama. In his book, In the Shelter, he writes that our lives are our greatest confession. And I just love that. That in telling my story, if I'm really being authentic and I'm really sharing my story with you, not just sharing those moments where I got it right. I'm not just sharing the gifts that God has gifted to me as God's child. But I'm also sharing with you those moments in my life where maybe I didn't use that gift spot on. Maybe I missed the mark a bit. So I'm telling this story. I'm telling this confession of who I am, and I'm confessing this journey of faith that has challenged me and continues to challenge me. And I ask you to be in relationship with that person. Not the person that is the perfection of God's image, the person that's still kind of stumbling along. You see, I think that when Jesus says, not 7 times, but 77 times, he's not being literal, right? It's not that after you get forgiven someone 77 times, you can just kick them out. This is not an algebraic equation. But I think what he's saying is that, or trying to impress upon us, is that if we commit ourselves to forgiving a person 77 times, we've committed not just to forgiving a person, but we've committed to a habit, to being informed by a practice of forgiveness, of trying to get better at loving each other, because we remain in that relationship here. In spite of our foibles and our faults, we say, no, you know, I still really love that person, and it would really cause me a lot of pain to not be in that relationship. So it becomes rather challenging to kick someone out of community when we are practicing forgiveness day in and day out, trying to model our lives after that which Jesus is teaching us this morning. So what does all of this have to do with planting a new church? That's the real question. That's what you really want to hear, right? I'll tell you, this is exactly what planting a new church is all about. It's not just about starting something new, but it's about telling our story, the story of the church Catholic, this gathering of saints that has been working and walking in faith for now over 2,000 years. And trying to invite others into our shared story, into our shared confession. And so as a church planter, I wake up on any day of the week, really. And I'm beginning to learn something that Susan, it seems, has gotten like spot on. And knows the art of talking to strangers at Starbucks. or at Sundance Square, or at the local arts and crafts festival, or at the supermarket. I begin practicing this same practice of sharing my story with a stranger and telling them who I am and what I'm trying to do. And just in telling my story, I am offering gifts, and I'm saying, this is who I am. And sometimes I won't get it right, and I hope you will come and join this community anyway. So a church plant is this new incarnation of the church trying to tell that story, confessing its life, and inviting others to be part of the story. Which perhaps brings me to the most important part of my sermon, which is to invite you into my story. The truth of planting a church is that no one can plant a church alone. And the work that we're doing out in West Fort Worth is shared work in the life of this diocese. And so I want you to become part of my story. And I want to ask you to consider doing two things for us out there on the prairie in Parker County. I want you to pray for us because we need your prayers. The work of planting a church is hard labor. And we can only do it with the presence of the Holy Spirit, as our colic this morning suggests. And secondly, I would invite you to consider making a single one-time financial contribution to our work. You can do it online, episcopalchurchparkercounty.org. You can mail us a check, whatever it is. But enter into our story. Now, let's be clear. I'm not asking you not to give to St. Martin. So don't go run and tell Scott that I told you not to pay your pledge. But become part of the story. Help us tell this story. Pray for us that the Holy Spirit will guide and direct all that we do. And pray that we have the grace in our lives to practice this art of forgiveness so often that it's just muscle memory and it just happens. Perhaps a concluding prayer for this lesson this morning is, O God of new beginnings and second chances,